Welcome back to The Comixologist, coming to you not live from New York City at Slim and Kazam.
Yidge. Episode this week, Kazam. We talk about comic books that we read this week. We try to pitch it to each other. Want to spread the love around the love of comic books.
Yeah, comics are great. And we want to make sure that everyone hears about all the great books that are out there in the hopes that you will find something new that you find exciting.
We actually, too, real quick before we get into our usual shtick, we had some friends in the office from Comic Pop on YouTube, and we're going to be on their show. I'll have a link to their channel so you can subscribe for when our episode comes out, but we talked about The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl live in the office.
Not live.
Live to videotape in the office.
Live to tape. Yeah, that was fun. I was delighted to get to talk about Unbeatable Squirrel Girl for an extended period of time.
Yeah,
that book is terrific.
And you wore a rare special edition Comixology hoodie, I think, during the interview.
There's like three of them in the world. So, direct from France, from Angoulême.
They're like Fabergé eggs.
The special edition Comixology hoodie.
There's also a massive Darwin Cook sale that's going on right now. One of the most talented folks in the biz. New Frontier is on sale. Gorgeous.
Oh, love that book.
Which was turned into a DC animated movie.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get into the new releases, Kara Kazam.
A lot came out this week. What came out?
Kara Kazam. We have Batman. You ever heard of this guy? This Batman? New issue of Black Panther.
Yeah.
Your new favorite character ever since Civil War came out.
100%.
You were with him from the beginning.
Fave character as of like 1.5 weeks ago.
Southern Bastards, the big one.
Finally.
The big one. I feel like I've been waiting 3 years for this storyline to start. Worth the wait.
I'm afraid to read it because I went to read it earlier and then I was like, no, I can't read this like on a train or like at my desk at work. No, this needs to be special. I need to be like in a comfort zone for this because I don't know what's going to happen. And if I just start like freaking out or crying or whatever, I don't want to be like around people because I don't think my fellow commuters would understand if I start like yelling about this comic.
Now, in this comfort zone you talk about, would something you mentioned off air be included? These mustard pretzel goldfish that you ate, would they be involved in this comfort zone?
Maybe. They were shockingly good. I was disgusted with myself for thinking that, but here we are.
Kaiju Max Season 2 has started. Archie, Gotham Academy, Darth Vader, your previous number one character of all time.
Anakin Skywalker is always number one in my heart. He just has a lot of things going on. I realize that he is evil and killed a lot of people, but have you seen Clone Wars?
Kara.
I know,
a
but
murderer.
But Clone Wars.
Remember when he killed those little Padawans?
I know. It's terrible. Have you been watching Star Wars Rebels? Oh, man, at the end of Season 2, no spoilers, but oh, my God. Darth Vader has a... is just one of the most complex, interesting characters ever. And that's why even though objectively I understand that he's evil and foul and needs to be stopped, but as someone who's just enjoying stories about him, oh, he's so good. So fascinating.
Did you think of those Power Ranger costumes that came out last week?
I actually went to a meeting and so like before the meeting
about
started
the costumes.
Before the meeting started, one of the guys in the meeting turned to me and he's like, you have to see this, and brought them up on the screen and just turned his screen towards me. I'm like, this is how we're starting this meeting? Okay.
I like them. I didn't mind them so much.
They're cool. Like, I only saw like two or three episodes of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers growing up because that was a show that
log off.
It was deemed too violent for me. So
too violent.
So I didn't get to watch it. I saw a few episodes at a friend's house when there was no parental supervision. Trini was always my favorite because I guess you could like the pink one, but like it's cooler to like the yellow one was how my kindergarten age mind thought about that.
Wow.
So There you have it.
My God. Kindergarten. Harrow Candy number 12 is out. House of Penance number 2. Action Comics 52, where apparently Clark New 52 meets up with pre-New 52 Clark.
Why?
Oh, you got to read to find out. Okay. Kara Kazam.
Okay. Okay.
Preacher free version. There's like a new cover that came out that kind of Steve Dillon drew the characters as their actors on this cover, and I think it's a free re-release of the first issue.
Nice.
So if you're interested in Preacher and you haven't read it yet, now's the time, boyo. Star Trek, Ninja Turtles, Popeye. My word. Grizzly Shark, number 2. One of my faves. But what about you, Kara? I know, should we break news that we're going to have a special edition Age of Apocalypse episode?
Yes.
Should you tease our dear friends with this news?
I talked myself into reading the entirety of Age of Apocalypse before X-Men Apocalypse hits theaters at the end of the month. So at this point, I think I have 2 weeks to read this event. I have already, I'm reading the complete Age of Apocalypse collected editions that we have on Comixology. I've made my way through the prelude and volume 1. So I only have volumes 2, 3, and 4 to get through. And they're each like 300 pages. And I have been live tweeting my journey, hashtag Age of Kazam. And we're going to have
a lot of great tweets in that hashtag.
Oh, I'm so glad you think so. So I don't, as longtime listeners of the show know, I am not the most knowledgeable person about the X-Men. Like, I know some stuff, but I'm not like Matt. Like, I didn't grow up with them, so I don't know, like, all of the stuff. So whenever I dive into an X story, I'm just kind of like, what is happening?
Yeah. So we'll have an episode where we discuss the whole thing. But I think the whole thing for this is so genius, because growing up, this was like the hottest S ever when this came out. Like, it blew my mind. And seeing you reading it last night, it's like the most polar opposite. Like, what is going on? Who are these people? So I think it's going to be fantastic.
No, it'll be great because you grew up with it. And I was like, that's a comic when they announced the movie. Like, I don't know. So I'm just reading it. I just kind of went in cold. And now I just finished the part in volume 1 where there's like a random Blink miniseries where they're like, okay, in this alternate timeline, now Blink is in a parallel universe for 4 issues doing a totally separate thing. And I'm like, what? Why? What's why? I mean, okay, but what? So more of that upcoming.
Stay tuned. What's a book that you read this week, Kazam?
In keeping with my newfound deep love for the Black Panther, I read Black Panther number 2. And it's such a well done book. Like, you get the feeling that they're really crafting a story as opposed to doing like a monster of the week kind of thing. They're really building towards a thing, and I'm excited to see what the thing is. So, you know, the first issue, admittedly for me, I was kind of like, who are all these people? And now by issue 2, I'm like, okay, like, here are the relationships that I need to know about. And what I really need to know is that things are not so peachy in Wakanda right now, the nation where Black Panther reigns as king. And he's trying to figure out, like, what's going on. And there's things like his sister, who was the queen of Wakanda, is now like undead / in stasis in a basement somewhere, and he like hasn't told anyone. And so I assume he's like trying to bring her back to life, but I'm having flashbacks to that run on Teen Titans where Superboy died and Robin like would not let it go. And so he was like, he spent like over a year trying to like clone Superboy or like bring him back to life. And like, that's when Robin and Wonder Girl started hooking up to like deal with their pain. And it was very confusing, but that's what this reminded me of. So interested to see where they'll go with that now that it's a different company and it's years later. And I assume Wakanda has more technology than the Bat Clan ever did.
Hashtag hooking up to deal with pain.
Anyway.
Now, I actually, this is a total offshoot, and we'll get back to Black Panther, but I read that Death of Superman, they cloned Superman, and he had the crazy hair and the earring and the jacket. Is that the same Superboy that's in Teen Titans or Young Justice?
Yeah.
Is it the same character?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that is some sweet, sweet 90s costuming right there with his, like,
it is.
Like, there's just so much going on with that costume, but the leather jacket and the Elvis hair, like, really pull it together. Connor Kent is so BA, and I love it. He got to be kind of a brat by the middle of that, but then when I started reading him in Teen Titans, he had, like, changed his outfit, and he had, like, the black t-shirt with the red S logo on it, and he found out where the other half of his DNA came from, and he had, like, a whole big, like, freak out about that, and I don't know, he was just, like, he was, like, the jock of the team, I guess.
Is it a well-known DC character, the secret DNA?
Yeah, I don't know why I'm being so coy about it. These are, like, 15-year-old spoilers at this point. It was Lex Luthor. Lex Luthor and Superman DNA.
I was
going to
say Lex Luthor. Damn!
Yeah. So Superboy is Lex Luthor DNA and Superman DNA. So he had, like, a complex about it afterwards.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. The one thing I'll say about Black Panther, the issue, I think most people are probably reading Black Panther right now, have no idea what the previous stuff was like. But I was very fascinated to learn that Wakanda was, you know, like a super city almost, because they are, I guess they have, what's the material that they have in Wakanda?
Oh,
that's
it's the
plutonium.
It's the stuff that Captain America's shield is, vibranium.
Vibranium. Yeah.
The shield. I knew it wasn't adamantium. I just did Wolverine.
Like
fist.
The most advanced civilization. And I guess I didn't assume that it would show where they would have kind of, you know, tall buildings and high tech hovercrafts all over the place. But I thought that was a really interesting thing to see in the book, where I guess I just figured it would just be Wakanda that I saw in some of the animated movies, where it was like a lot of jungle and temples, but it's very different than I thought.
Yeah.
So
last week I put out the call and I asked listeners who knew of good Black Panther runs to recommend if they could do that. And I do have some responses, so I will vet the responses. I will read the books and I will report back to everyone about what to read next if you like Black Panther.
1860 England, Kara.
Okay.
You ever heard of this? 1860 England?
Okay. I'm intrigued. Keep going.
Monster on a Hill from Top Shelf. It's a graphic novel. You know, it's not like a single issue or anything. And it takes place in 1860 England, where each town has a monster in the town that scares the townspeople, and they all kind of enjoy it, and they have merchandise for their town monster. It's like their, you know, their team almost. But one town has really like a really pathetic monster. He just kind of stays in his hut or his cave and doesn't want to come out and scare people. Aww. He hasn't come out in many years. And they send out kind of a disgraced doctor in the town to go fix him. And the newspaper boy tags along. So you kind of have this little ragtag motley crew of a doctor, a small newspaper boy, and a pathetic monster to try to get to the bottom of why he's like that and if they can improve his talents. And it's a really funny book. It's hilarious. It's very well done. The art style is, you know, it's not unlike kind of the Sunday newspaper strip, very animated, very colorful. I loved it. But eventually you find out that there's also another reason why each town has a monster.
Oh.
And so it's very important that he learns how to become a better monster. And I loved it. Great collected, you know, 100 and maybe 120 page book from Top Shelf. Love Top Shelf. Love this book. Highest recommendation.
That sounds amazing.
All ages.
Yeah. Been a while since.
Put that on your list after your 10,000 pages of Age of Apocalypse.
For real, though. Why is there so much? Can you explain why there's so much? And I'll save it for the other show. But
I read one more X-Men book while we're on the topic of Age of Apocalypse.
Sure.
But I think I forgot that Marvel re-released X-Men number 1 through 5 or 6 from the 90s, the ones that sold like millions of copies. They recolored them in like a collected form. So I think we just released it. It's called X-Men Mutant Genesis 2.0. And those are like books that I read in the 90s. Yeah, I think this might have been right before Age of Apocalypse with Jim Lee and Chris Claremont.
Was that issue number one the one where if you opened the cover, it's like the two cover spread of all the X-Men?
Yeah, in the back.
Yeah, there.
Remember it had like 5 different covers, like one had Gambit on it and one had Colossus and Magneto and all
yeah,
that.
There were like 500 of those in the LCS I worked at in college.
And I just it's super, super weird in a good way, because they went back and recolored it in a modern way. And so I reread it and you could see kind of, you know, how different it is. Whereas when I read it in the 90s, I guess it in like a 90s coloring way.
Wait, is everything now like really gritty and dark?
I don't know if I would describe it that way.
There's highlights.
I don't know enough about colors to describe how different it is in colors.
Were the 90s ones like
it's a little more vibrant.
Were the colors like flat and now they have like gradients and highlights to make it
they have some depth.
So it's like putting on 3D glasses to read a comic.
Sure. I just would feel bad if I was the original colorist and then Marvel like re-releases. Maybe they were cool with it. And they're like, yeah, I didn't do so hot back then, but so recolor it. But who knows? But it was cool to see the new color.
Are they marketing it as digitally remastered?
I think they do say remastered. I'm not sure if they say digitally.
I love that word. I don't know why.
What else did you read this week?
Can we talk about The Fix?
Yes.
Okay. So The Fix number 2 came out this week. I read the first issue actually because you told me to. You like, I don't know if you remember this. You sent it to me and you said, hey, this looks pretty cool. And I was like, okay, whatever, Matt. And then I read it and I'm obsessed with it because it's great. All right. So.
Oh, I know why I said that, because it's from the same creative team as Superior Foes of Spider-Man, isn't it?
Yeah. There we go. Okay. Gonna paint this picture for you. 2 bank robbers.
Love it.
Robbing the bank. And then they leave the scene and they take off their masks and they're cops.
What?
They're cops and they get a call from dispatch saying that the bank has been robbed and they say, we're on it. So they go back to the bank they just robbed. One of them still in the Hawaiian shirt he was wearing while robbing the bank, but without the mask on and with the badge, everyone's just like, yeah, these cops are totally legit. So you're getting this amazing reveal of these 2 crooked cops who are like so unabashedly crooked that you root for them instantly. It's like all the snappy banter I loved from Superior Foes of Spider-Man put into like a buddy cop / buddy robber story. Oh, the bad boss that you meet in issue 1 that shows up again in issue 2. He's like the yuppiest, most kombucha drinking, spin class, bluegrass playing man you've ever seen in your life. And he runs like the biggest criminal organization in LA. And everything about this book is just so perfect. And like while I'm reading it with like the way it's written and like the pacing and everything, it makes me feel like I'm reading like the next hilarious action flick. But it's a comic book and it's available right now. Wow. Like, I love everything about this. So in issue 2, they're getting in a little deeper. They have to do some stuff for their evil boss. And it involves one of them getting his hand shot and the other one like maybe messing up the lives of one of the other cops on the force. But like the whole time you're rooting for these jerks because they're so delightful. You can't help but be like, yeah, this makes sense. This life of crime that you're following, totally, I understand it. It's delightful.
The Fix. I think another person, I think Josh, I don't know if we have a funny nickname for Josh. Josh from email. Josh, marketing manager.
Email wizard.
Emailing wizard Josh wrote a review for that on Tumblr, and I think he said the same thing. Did you ever see Tango and Cash?
No.
Get out.
What is it? I don't even know what that is.
Has Kurt Russell and Sylvester Stallone as partners, cops.
Okay.
And it's one of the best movies ever made.
Okay.
By human beings.
Yeah.
On this planet.
Very high praise from you.
I don't have any other books. Do you have another one before we get into our letters?
We can go into the letters. Just everyone know that Southern Some Bastards is like,
oh yeah,
my life today. It's looking forward to reading that book.
There, I did read that today. It's good, and it's setting the stage for something massive.
And you literally can't say anything else without revealing anything, right?
Massive.
Ah.
All right. Letters at comixology.com. You shoot us a letter. We might read it on the era. Let's see. Subject line, free comics. Dear Matt and Kara, I just discovered podcasts and have loved your show for the past 8 months that I have been following it. I've been a comic collector since 1982 and have just moved back to New York City. I found that in my collection is too big for my apartment. Instead of selling them, I thought maybe I could donate them to someone who might love and cherish them. I pulled 800 comics from my collection and willing to donate them to perhaps one of your listeners. I thought you guys are so creative, you might be able to think of a way to do this. Maybe a contest? And he goes on with some other ideas about giving away his free comics. And I actually thought maybe Housing Works would be a good option. Because I think that we do a lot of work with Housing Works to donate comic books in New York City, too.
Oh, yeah.
So that would be my recommendation. While I would love to orchestrate some kind of free giveaway, the sheer logistics of said giveaway are not something I look forward to.
Well, plus, you should spread that comics love to people who might not otherwise be exposed to comic books.
Yeah, if you Google Housing Works NYC, I think you'll get a good amount of information. There's some good folks over there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Black Panther, subject line. Kara and Matt. The Christopher Priest run is fantastic. 1998 to 2003. Nuff said. Rich, in NH, New Hampshire. I assume.
I look forward to reading that. Really? No, I'm so excited to like know everything about Black Panther now.
Let's see. Subject line: consistently consistent. K Slim. Last podcast, Matt mentioned no one wanted to hear him talk about Lowe every week. False. Lowe is worthy to be mentioned with each release, especially from the Remendo fan club VP of advertising. Are there any currently ongoing series you have stuck by with each issue release but haven't mentioned again due to fear of listener fatigue? That's an amazing question, actually. Mikey P.
That's basically every book that I talk about that isn't a number one issue, because I read everything continuous month to month. I do often like tell myself, today I won't talk about Gem and the Holograms, today I won't talk about Giant Days or Lumberjanes, but it's like an active effort, because I feel like I part of it is also like I'm still reading these things and I still love them, but I do want to make sure that I'm talking about a broad range of books that I do find interesting, because I know that not everyone has the same taste as me, and I want to make sure that if there's a book that I've discovered that I need to share with the rest of you, that maybe it's something a little different, so it'll appeal to a different group of people.
The all-new X-Men series by Dennis Hopeless and Mark Bagley is really good. That's one that I read kind of every time it comes out, but I don't bring it up because I feel like it's my atypical X-Men discussion. So related to that, Uncanny Avengers is really good. By Brian Posehn, or is it Brian Posehn? Or I actually can't remember who does it now. But that's the one where Deadpool is on like the Unity Avenger Squad, and there's a lot of classic X-Men throwback stuff in it. Baltimore is also really good. That's probably my favorite Dark Horse ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that hunts the vampire. What else? That was a great question. Low, obviously. Deadly Class. Shockingly, the Rick Remender books.
Yeah. You know, Gotham Academy, Batgirl, Lumberjanes, Love, Hellcat, basically any of the Magical Girl books, like Another Castle right now, and before that it was Zodiac, Star Force, and, you know,
Batman.
Things that I could talk about every month, but choose not to, although I am still reading them. Oh, I'm loving Unfollow. Unfollow is so twisted. And The Clean Room. Oh, like, I'm not a horror person, yeah. But, you know, The Clean Room.
What was the last horror movie you've seen?
Signs.
One of my favorite movies, shockingly. Have we ever talked about that?
No.
I like how you said that nervously. No. I used to work in a video store, and I used to have Signs playing constantly.
God, you're old.
When I first got my job, Vanilla Sky had come out, my favorite movie, and Sopranos on DVD was the hot thing.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was like, whoa, I could get the Sopranos. I don't have HBO. I'm going to rent these on DVD and VHS.
What a time to be alive.
To further date myself, I mean, I'm not that old, but...
I know, I just like...
Never a good time to start out a sentence with that. We were just splitting our inventory from VHS into DVD. DVD was so new in the rental game.
Whoa.
Yeah, so we still had to rewind VHSs.
Awesome. The last VHS I bought was Emperor's New Groove. So 2000.
Love that movie.
Oh, that movie is choice.
Underrated Disney movie.
Not if you're on Tumblr. You are clearly in the wrong place.
Doesn't that movie have like a wacky backstory where it went through so many revisions and that was the final version and it just somehow worked out to be like a great movie?
I have no idea, but every day I'm thankful that Eartha Kitt stuck around on this earth long enough to record the voice of Yzma.
God bless.
Yeah. Fun fact, there was a time in my life when I could quote that entire movie from front to back without it playing.
Oh my God.
Like, you could have started any line from that movie and I would have just run with the rest of the film. That's like my superpower is remembering like quotes or song lyrics and stuff like that.
I don't know how to respond to that.
That's okay.
Statement.
Well,
I'm just going to let it
next
sit
time
there.
You're in the office, like, we can maybe play it in the background and I'll just like sit next to you and like under my breath just quote the entire film to you and see how long it takes for you to get up and walk away from me.
That sounds like the worst idea I've ever heard in my life.
Okay.
What a show. Great show, Kara.
Yep. I am excited to continue reading Age of Apocalypse. So stay tuned for our special edition episode. And in the meantime, enjoy your comics.
Goodbye.